missed us. Because you were home.
Okay, people, we are back with a capital B. We have a great episode planned. We've got the world's greatest guests. We've got my cousins, Molly and Carrie. Guys, what's popping?
Hello.
Hey.
Thanks for having us again.
Thanks for coming on.
Pumped to be here.
It's like literally
really
my favorite.
In the fall.
Yeah, it's like it's my favorite thing. Love the fall vibes. Love the spooky vibes.
It's just that time of year, and I'm really getting into it, and I'm usually not a fall person.
You're not?
I'm not, because I love summer too much, but, like, I'm really embracing the fall candles and the clothing, even though I'm not going anywhere.
No.
There's finally a chill in the air today. Like, now I feel like I can step into it.
Yes.
No, I totally agree. The weather makes all the difference, because otherwise you're just sweating in a sweater, and... no one wants that. But it's gonna be back in like the 70s tomorrow, I think, which is like a little bit of a bummer for me, because I've transitioned. The bathing suits are out, the fluffy socks are in, the sweaters are back, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I feel like you dress for the season, not the weather. Like, dress for the dress for the holiday you want it to be.
Yeah.
There comes a point in the season where I just give up on the weather and go with the season clothes.
Yeah, like today I'm just like 1-800 bundled, and like it wasn't even that cold, but like
agreed.
The morning was interesting and ripe. But it's going to be very cold this weekend for our little Pocono Mountain trip. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
That's what's really making me get in the fall spirit.
Yeah,
because when we go there, it is truly fall. Like, the drive there transforms into fall.
It's quintessential fall.
Crunch in the leaves, the crisp
in the leaves, the color changing leaves, everything. Just...
the air is a glade scented plug-in, like, of what you think fall should be.
When you hear those gunshots.
No. Oh my God. I know. I was kind of thinking that, like, when we started to do this episode. Well, we haven't really introduced the episode yet, but I was kind of nervous, like, thinking about this, like, I definitely could, like, psych myself out. Like, I used to be, and I still am, but, like, very much, like, crime fan, scary movie fan. But, like, I'm getting spooked in my old age. Like,
you really are.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of it is due to the crippling mental health. But, like, it's just, like, and I don't know. I guess I'm just, like, more acutely aware that, like, these things can happen. And, like, now I'm just, like, on guard. But I feel like, the Pocono house is, like, very similar to the vibes of the stories we're telling. No?
I was thinking that watching the movie today. I don't know if you're already introduced him, but talking about the movie The Strangers, I thought it looked so much like the freaking cabin we'll be at on Friday. I mean, it really does. Mm-hmm. The layout is for real. That
it's
one
insane.
Bedroom, I was like, oh, that's Beth's bedroom when we go. Like, I really – the closet of it all. I don't even know if there's I just really felt like I was like, oh, I'm watching Remy's house.
No, like it is. Yeah. I completely agree. And like before they redid the house, it literally had this like ancient, like this big room and this like wood burning stove. And it was very much,
oh my God.
It was that. Oh wait, my dog might be here. Hold on 1 second. So yeah, definitely gonna be feeling the vibes in the cabin. Very scary, very quaint, very resort, remote. Yeah, like personally looking out the windows there in the middle of the night is very scary for me.
That's what I was gonna say. Like when we get there at night and all of those blinds are open to darkness, that is my first step, closing all of the shades, because that freaks me out.
Uh-huh. It's scary.
And we just like check all the bedrooms. Spook ourselves so bad when we're there.
The first time we got, did we not go into every room screaming?
With weapons?
Yeah.
I'll bring a bat or something.
Is it bear season?
I think it's always bear season, but like, have they hibernated or are they pissed off now looking for food?
Oh my God. I feel like.
Should we look it up?
And in a harvest festival mood, like,
oh my God, is this the time last year or whenever we went in that fall and we had to Google like, what do bears mm-hmm. do, what do you do when a bear chases you?
I think we may need to resurface mm-hmm. the articles.
Yeah, I need to be prepped.
Yeah,
I definitely need to be prepped. But the fact that a killer bear isn't the scariest thing about being up there, if you ask me.
No, it's not. It's 100% not, because you can go indoors and hopefully they won't follow you.
Mm-hmm.
A killer is probably already in the house.
Right, a townie is in the house. I very much agree. Very much agree. Okay, so we will we'll break it down. We are going to just completely blow everyone away with letting everyone know the inspiration behind the world's best critically acclaimed film from 2008, The Strangers, which, like, in the beginning of the movie, I think in the beginning, if not at the end, if not both, it literally says, like, based off of true events. And, like, at first when it came out, I mean, you know, I was, like, in the rabbit hole, like, digging deep, and there wasn't really much on it, but things have, I mean, obviously it's like a million years later, things have sort of like come out, and we know some of the ins and outs and the inspiration about where this movie originated from. And like, for me, I think the scariest part is like the idea behind the movies The Strangers is like, it's just this seemingly random, so scary, horrific home invasion, and it's mm-hmm. like, it's not impossible.
I was gonna say, it's a realistic scenario that could happen, where I feel like a lot of other scary movies are like crazy characters and like, I don't know, villains that like wouldn't necessarily exist, but mm-hmm. it's a very real story.
Yeah, it's no Freddy Krueger,
right?
But like, it could happen. Like, it really could happen. Okay, so Carrie, you kind of just like watched the full feature film in its entirety.
Yeah.
We made you watch it before, but I don't know if you totally saw the whole thing. What are your thoughts and concerns?
Like, I'm a bitch about scary movies, and especially like, I'll be honest, like in that Mount Pocono like mm-hmm. scenario, like in the cabin. I love calling the cabin. That. But being there, like, in that setting, like, it just feels too real. So, like, mm-hmm. The stakes are much higher watching it there. Mm-hmm. And it just feels way more real. So I do tend to, like, shut my eyes and, like, you know, doze off.
Put your headphones in.
A drunken stupor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she pretends to fall asleep on the sofa.
So I literally watched it in the daylight today in like my apartment. And so like, that's like, oh, there's no way this is happening.
Mm-hmm. Right. Much protection.
Yeah. So, I don't like it. Like, it's sad. Like, I don't like scary movies because they just are fucking sad. Like,
no, I know.
Like, I don't like that. But what really got me, like, good point. You're like, this could happen to anybody. Like, I know. And like the most bone chilling part, I think, is the end when they're faced with the killers, and then why are you doing this to us? Why are you doing this to us?
I just got the chills.
You were home. Like that.
Like that. I think that, and like in one of the like articles that I read when I was researching it, it was like from the director's point of view, like it, like that whole idea, the whole like, why are you doing this? And just the very like, because you were home, like that just became what captivated people so much. Like that was the whole idea of like, oh my, and I think people just kind of got like a little bit like obsessed with it. Like at least I did. Like I was just like blown away by how real it was. And then, like, I don't know, you sometimes you see scary movies and like they say the whole like, oh, based on real events, and you just kind of like, no.
Yeah.
But this was like, yeah. Real. Yeah, like they're not wrong. Definitely not wrong.
So in your research, was there anything that said, like, were the killers wearing masks like they are in the movie? Was that just like a cinematic factor?
So that is a great question. I think that's actually how I like started looking into it, like killers that wear whatever over their head. Yeah. And there's actually like quite a few. So all right, let's break it down from the top to the bottom, because the inspiration comes from like a few real life situations. And the first and foremost, just based on like the whole cult-like mentality and this weird ties to like this like pseudo new religion type of vibe situation, was the Charles Manson murders, the Manson family murders. And do you guys, okay, so what do you guys know about the Manson family murders?
Not a ton.
Listen, like I always say, the 1970s built different. 60s and 70s built different. So, all right, just like brief sum, and I'm just going to go off the top of my head here, like it's really not even worth it. But like Charles Manson, like notorious cult leader, skinny legend, had like wives on wives on wives, had like a lot of guys that worked with him, did his bidding, and like there was a lot of like odd like sex stuff happening, violent murders, like a string of murders throughout maybe Northern California. No, maybe, and also Hollywood. I don't know, just stuff like that. But he's like very well known, and like he got away with a lot originally. So you would kind of think like he's like kind of smart, but like there's always like this weird little like crux of a downfall for these people. And like there's just like, I don't know, like they always get caught, you know. But he kind of like was smart. But one of the things that like stands out about like the murders that these people committed is they would like write these weird messages in their victims' blood at the crime scene, like this, you know, very cold, very that. And one of the most infamous times was during one of the home invasion slash brutal murders they did. They were like, they had some like, again, like everything was like very like cult, like just a lot of that going on. But they had this like situation, and I just want to make sure I get the spelling right. So I want to make sure that who did this mistake is exactly who I think did. But one time when they went to like do their weird like painting, I guess you could call it, Manson like went and like, this is so embarrassing, he meant to write Helter Skelter, which is like a song by the Beatles, and like he was very fascinated by this song, like he thought like it was just this very like weird like apocalyptic race war tie he thought was happening. Like, honey, nobody's doing that. So he meant to write Helter Skelter on the wall, but he wrote Helter Skelter.
Oh, no.
And I'm sorry, like I just love that. Like I said, there's just always some little downfall. Like there's just always something that like, yes, you totally committed these horrible, horrible crimes, totally scary as shit. But also like you said, Helter Skelter. And for that, I just can't get over that. Okay, so does anything about Charles Manson sound familiar?
Yeah, like I know of him.
Okay, so like a couple of his murders, and they were like very like Hollywood based. But one of the biggest inspirations that the director for The Strangers pulled from was one of the specific murder or like strings of murders from the Manson family. That's what they called themselves. Like, No. So the director of The Strangers, what was it, like Bertino? Somebody Bertino. I don't know, whatever. So the Mansons, Charles like had this like weird fixation. Like, I guess he thought he was going to be like a musician or something, like Helter Skelter. And he got like turned down by this producer or something. And so he was totally ready to like strike revenge. So he found out where this guy allegedly lived, or where he thought he lived, or, you know, whatever the case may be for Helter Skelter. And when they got there, he didn't go in himself, but he told his little cult people, like, go in there and I want you to kill everyone in there. And I want you to do it like as gruesomely as possible. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to go in there and just slash, just completely slash it up. And that's what they did. Any concerns so far?
I'm just shook.
It's not good. So basically what ended up happening there is, and this is so sick and like very strangers, very, you know, very real life. So of course, lo and behold, they cut the phone lines. That's like the first thing they did. And then this scary guy, Tex Wallace, I think, yeah, I think that's his name. He was like, Charles's like right-hand man. And they like, it went back and forth with like who actually did the killings. Cause it was like two guys and at least two girls, very strangers vibes. And like they went in, they killed a visitor, they killed the guy who was taking care of the grounds, and they got in the house. And it was not this like producer that he was trying to get revenge on, but he wasn't there, so he wouldn't even know who he was even looking for. It was a 9-month pregnant actress, Sharon Tate, her friend, and her husband's friend and his wife who were staying with her because her husband was out of town. He was another actor, Roman Polanski. He was filming. So these people were staying with her to keep her company, 9 months pregnant. And it was almost kind of like by default, like Charles selected this house because it was this producer who he wanted revenge on. And these people happened to be renting it for the summer. And they were completely slaughtered, slashed, like Stab City, like horrible, horrible, horrible. And apparently, I guess it was like the criminals themselves, like the cult people themselves, like, I mean, like they kind of like recounted what was happening in there. And again, like very strangers vibes, like talked about how the people were obviously like begging for their lives. And Sharon was like, please, like, you know, like if you hurt me, like just don't hurt my baby, this and that. And they stabbed big time. So I think it was like a housekeeper who found them the next day.
Oh no.
Yeah. And the blood graffiti at this scene was pig, written, I believe, in Sharon's blood by Tex Wallace.
Oh.
Very scary. Very scary.
Wait, it said the word pig.
He wrote it, pig.
Oh.
I know. I know. So they apparently, like, they got away with it for a while. And they committed another very similar murder or murders the next night. And it's sort of like they went on with like this string of very similar crimes, but like all this like similar profile, like just like these sort of seemingly random home invasions and just the brutality of it all is just insane. I think one of the officers who responded to the like Hollywood Mansion murder was like, it was like the most bloody scene I've ever been to.
I have the chills.
Mm-hmm. Horrible, right? So, like, again, like, it does happen. Like, you, like, these people weren't sought out specifically. Right. It was just, like, hashtag you were home, you know? Is that so scary?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So those were some of the inspirations?
Mm-hmm.
Movie?
Okay. Yeah, so I think that one, and I don't know, they didn't say anything about if they were dressed up or anything, them specifically. I know that like they used to wear like, I mean, it was like very 70s, so like that sort of hippie cult like dress, like peasant vibe, which like I feel like, I don't know, in the end at least, isn't the one girl like wearing like a peasant dress or something in The Strangers? Like it's very, It kind of, like, no offense, seems like Midwest church.
Right.
Very that. Very Mormon. Yeah. I'm no offense to them. I'm like, I'm not trying to bring y'all down, but like very, there's something to that. There's a little traction there.
Well, yeah. So the killers of like the Sharon Tate house, some of them are women.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Interesting. I thought it was like about the strangers, how there was two of them were ladies. And like, you just don't typically think of like a serial killer as a lady, even though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's such a good point. Like, in The Strangers, there's that one scene where at the end, I think the one girl is like sort of like consoling almost the other girl, just kind of saying like, oh, you'll get used to it. Like, cause you, the one is like, obviously not a good person. And like, oh, poor her, she regrets killing these people. But like, you can tell she's sort of like, huh, what's this about? Yeah. But the night of the Sharon Tate murders, one of them, and I forget which one, and frankly, I don't care because she's a piece of shit, but one of the girls like actually tried to stop them. She was like, the brutality of it all was like, it even for a cult member was like, we went too far. Like we went far, but very cult. And they were just like, no, Charles said, do it and do it as brutal as possible.
Where is the movie supposed to take place?
The Strangers?
Yeah.
It's such a good question. And they actually published the address. And I just looked at it, but I kind of can't remember. Yeah, like there was an actual address of that house. Like, I don't know if it's where it's supposed to be.
Right. Or... Wikipedia says in a secluded area away from civilization.
Okay, but we want to know where.
Okay, where we're going this weekend. 100%.
Right. 100%. That's going to be us, you guys.
Wow. It's just...
It does.
I think the creepiest part for me is the knock on the door. literally that every time, even if I think of it and just speaking it out loud now, raises the hairs on my arm. Like, it's so horrible, because what would you do?
Die on sight.
I don't even know.
I would die. I would die.
Call the, like, wait, so they have their phones in the beginning?
Yes.
And they
is they at that point still?
Somebody knocks on the door at 4 a.m. Bring, bring, 911.
Why do I feel like it was like a, there was no service.
Probably.
Thing.
Yeah, like in that kind of situation, right, like I'm calling right away. But also like, do they even come out to those parts? Like who's patrolling?
Right.
You know?
And then Strangers too is like a whole other thing with other secluded areas, and it's just like, like police, are they going there? No. Mm-hmm.
I know. No, it's really bad. And like, you're just totally like cut off from civilization, and like no one even like knows what you're doing, where you are, the whole shebang. But yeah, I agree. The knock on the door is so scary.
It's so horrible.
The phones being cut is so scary. Always. I mean, it's always that. Yeah. But like, the one part, like when after the "Is Tamara home" happens and she talks to her and like sends her away, and then the knocking comes back and it's just like banging like so much she just like visibly jumps. I'm just like, that is the scariest thing to me.
Also scary, the music that plays on the record.
No, I was thinking about that.
Horrifying.
Ancient folktale music.
It's just like that adds such a factor.
Yeah, and like the fact that it's skipping and it's on full volume.
That's disgusting.
So it's bad. Because like for me, like I get very, and I'm very sensitive to like extreme sounds, and like it's tough for me to like keep my bearings when I feel like my senses are off. And I'm sure a lot of people like that, especially if you're, you know, being attacked, and I'm sure your anxiety is very heightened, but like that is so disorienting to lose a sense of sound like that, like by just having this crazy weird music blasting, and like you just can't even orient to if a sound is coming, where is it coming from. I would die. I'm like spiraling thinking about it.
I can't imagine like a worse type of like song, like you said, like that folky shit. Like, what would be your most nightmare music? Like, you're trapped in your house in a closet and you hear this like playing. Like, can you think of a scarier?
It's a Small World or Banjo.
Yeah.
There's just something creepy about a banjo to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like the record of it all.
Yes.
That's
tough. It's very concerning.
Creep factor.
I know.
And there's also some like piano shit happening.
Yeah, pianos are supposed to be nice, but that's not very nice at all. Okay, wait, what's like also, oh no, 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 so bad, so bad. And I'm glad that we no longer have a swing set at the cabin anymore. Guys, when they look out the window and she's just sitting on the swing in a mask in the dead of night swinging, what would you do?
I am gonna die.
What would you do? Picture that.
Socks.
We know that pitch blackness at Grammys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's nothing. You cannot orient yourself if you tried. Like, where are you going? Also, frankly, like, the neighbors? Like, questionable to seek refuge. Like, we're not safe up there.
Yeah. No, unsure.
I'm sure some of you are lovely people.
They are the strangers for us.
No, it's bad. And like the whole like 30 years behind everything of it all up there, like
like we can relate. No Wi-Fi. No service.
I forgot.
You cannot contact anyone.
No, it's totally off the
grid.
Is
there one point, because I'm forgetting, that they try to escape in the car?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then something happened with the car.
Yeah, yeah, they crashed into them.
Like, yeah. Rams into the back of them. So they just like run back in the house. Which I would just, I don't even know what.
I don't know.
And we're totally outnumbered because everyone up there has a truck.
Mm.
Yeah, we're, guys, it's not good. We do have the rowboat, though. If we need to escape via Lake Newfoundland, we're going to be fine.
Honestly, can't imagine anything scarier than trying to rowboat away from someone.
Like, when literally you can see the other end of the lake. Like, where are we rowing to? They'll get there faster than us.
I would just drown.
Oh, my God. No, I know. I know.
I'm making myself scared right now.
Yes, I know, I know. I thought this was going to be maybe a bad idea. Okay, but not to scare us, like, one more time. And then the really horrible part about the strangers, which I kind of took to be, like, sort of related to the Manson murders in a way, and I'll tell you why. So when their friend finally shows up, but they don't know it's their friend coming to help them and check on them because they're hiding in a closet and the disorienting banjo is on repeat, and unfortunately he does not make it out, like... Mm-hmm. That's one of the most devastating parts of the movie to me.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible.
Wait, how do they get in contact with the friend?
At one point in the beginning of the night, before they even know that they're being attacked, he leaves them a voicemail because they, like, him and the girlfriend or wife or fiance got into a fight, and he was just like, things aren't going well. Like, can you come pick me up?
Okay, got it.
That kind of thing.
Now, is that, like, scenario all Hollywood, or is that, like, a real story at all, that there was this couple?
The couple like that were like breaking up.
Yeah.
Well, her and her man, Sharon and her man were not always like on good terms. He was not a one woman man, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that to be considered. Okay. Let's take a brief, quick little breaky break here. But yeah, I thought this scene with like the friend when he finally shows up and like tries to like help them out, like, I don't know, like no one shows up per se for the Manson murders, but there was like the groundskeeper had like a guest over, and he was apparently the one that like first came in contact with the people when they were like beginning to do the slashing and like tried to fight them off, but they just shot him. And like another guy, even when he was like stabbed or shot or injured, like fought back AF. But they stabbed and shot him, like just very brutal as shit, like just horrific. Horrific. Oh my God.
Like, I know I keep saying this, but what would you do?
Mm-mm.
You can't do anything.
No, like you can't even fight, no offense.
No, you cannot.
Also, I think about, like, in these scenarios, like, you would just start saying weird stuff. I was thinking of watching a movie with the girl talking to the killer, and she was like, why are you doing this to us? Like, whatever. Like, just, like, what would you even say? I feel like we would almost say, like, funny stuff. Like, do you know what I mean? Just, like,
mm-hmm. like try to bargain with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's because it's just, like, so unbelievable. Like, how do you even process that that's what's happening to you?
There's no way.
But yeah, so, like, the whole, like, the brutality and, like, the cult-like following and the whole, like, mix of men and women and the seemingly randomness and, like, they just sail off into their truck at the end of the movie and, like, go on to the next town to do the next thing. Like, I mean, that's Manson AF. Like I said, they sort of just, like, went through California. A lot of it was, like, totally random or, like, somewhat random. Mm-hmm. But this part, this inspiration, I think it was, like, so creepy to me. And I think this will probably, like, trip you guys out because, like, this is, like, okay, this could happen. This is realistic. So, the director, his name is Brian Bertino. Mm-hmm. And he said that as a kid, he lived in a house on a street in, like, the middle of nowhere. And apparently one night his parents were out and it was just, like, him and his sister or, like, his siblings home. And the parents were out and someone knocked on the front door. And the little sister answered it. And at the door was some people asking for somebody who didn't live there.
No.
Same camera.
So scary. So scary. So terrifying. So I'll finish that tale in a second. But okay, so back in the day when I was a kid, prank calling was, like, a major thing. Like, I don't know if you guys ever did prank calling, but, like, that was, like, the highlight of my adolescence. But one time it was, like, me, Kel's friend, and one of my friends, and we were having a sleepover. And I think, like, my parents were out or they were already asleep or something, but someone called the house and we had a phone in the basement and we answered it. And it was this guy, and I'll, like, never forget it. He was like, is Tony there?
Oh,
and,
no.
And we were like, no, you have the wrong number. And he was like, oh, okay. Well, is Tony there? Oh. And we were like, we got so scared. Like, it kind of just kept going on like that. We were like, no, like, you have the wrong number. Like, there's no Tony. And, like, eventually.
Like, is Tony here?
Like, yeah, you tell us.
Yeah.
Like, it was very scary. But, like, something about that just, like, majorly chilled me. And and then Tamara happened years later.
Tony and Tam.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I know. Do you think it was them? I bet it was. So apparently they later found out that those people that came to the door, they were knocking on doors in the area, and if no one was home, they would break into the houses.
Okay.
Isn't that just, like, so freaky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they were doing.
The coming up with the name is just so scary to me. Because it's like, that's really unsettling. Because then you're like, ew, is this person
in the
house? Or like, why this person? I don't know.
Who even is that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very unsettling.
I know.
But they were just pulling out random crap just to break in.
Okay. Yeah. That. Just looking for Tamara, looking for Tony. Anything at all, really. But yeah, so that was, like, that was kind of where he pulled, like, you know, some of, like, the little details and stuff from, and, like, the whole premise of, like, someone knocking, a stranger knocking on your door, and, like, just even that in and of itself always creeps me out.
Agree.
Yeah, you hide.
Exactly.
Nice suburbs where we live, if someone's knocking on the door, we are crawling up the steps trying to get out of view of the door. Like, and it could be a neighbor, it could be someone. Right. So,
like, they're blatantly delivering, like, shortbread cookies for, like, a fundraiser, and I'm hiding
like knocking on a door, it just, especially in today's world when people are actually like busy and doing things, you never know.
Yeah. And the whole, like, I'm sorry, if you're coming to see me, don't stop by. Let me know.
Yeah, this is the age of stopping by at all. So that's very scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if somebody's at the door, like, you're like, mom!
Exactly. At 31 years old, I still want someone else. I'm living alone. I still want someone else to answer the door. Okay, better go get it.
Even when you are expecting someone and they're at the door, it's like,
mm-hmm. Oh my God, like, I know. Yeah, and like, I'm sorry, like, I don't want any, like, no offense, older people listening to this, like, oh, those are the good old days. Really? Because you guys were literally getting murdered throughout the 70s. So, like, no, we're done. I'll keep my Ring doorbell and my Blink alarm system and all that stuff and my dog that barks and my bat next to my bed, and I will be protected.
Safe.
That's me. That's my vibe.
That's the other thing with weapons. I don't, like, have them. I would just be like, oh, the killer is going to get to it before me.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel about a lot of things. But I did find this, like, very ancient wooden bat in my basement. Wow. So we keep her just in case, you know, you never know. I also set traps in my house, like, at every window. You know me. At every window, there's a potted plant or a stack of, like, ceramics or candles or, like, bitch, if you think you're coming in this window, you're going to clatter a bunch of shit.
Right.
I will bebop out the window before you even get a shard of glass on your toe.
I support that.
A lot. I'm very much Kevin McAllister. Lots of traps going on in here. You got to do it. Okay. So that is like the culmination of the inspo. But so I was like really hung up on this whole like, okay, but did he wear a mask? Like, mm-hmm. did he wear this thing? So I went searching, and what I found, and this was not like attributed to being a inspiration for The Strangers, but I'm gonna rock your world. Listen, we cannot let the 1960s and 1970s have all the fun, so we are gonna pummel it back to 1946. Wait until you catch the name of this town, and I just want you to just like tell me what you think, like what's the vibe. Texarkana.
Oh,
Texarkana is the town.
One word, two words?
One word, Texarkana.
Fine spelling that.
Texarkana. Texarkana.
Where the hell?
I'm sure I'm saying it not like the locals would say it.
That's in the U.S.
But like essentially, it's a little bridged area of Texas and Arkansas.
Ew!
Wouldn't you know?
I'm looking it up.
Wouldn't you know? Yeah, I'm very obsessed with it. A little. It straddles the state line between Texas and Arkansas.
Arkana.
Love that. Arkansas is having a moment lately. I feel like I've seen a lot of like hotties on TikTok, and they live in Arkansas. Who would have thought?
No.
Isn't that odd?
That's funny. Arkansas has been top of mind as well for me.
Like, I just feel like that's like odd. Like, do you think that's like a story they're trying to put out there? Like, they're trying to get on the map.
It's not a nice place. I'm kidding.
Okay. Well. There's a lot of crime news stories that popped up when I just searched Texarkana.
Yes.
So things are happening there still to this day.
But you will croak when you find out what the town literally still does to this day. Like, I don't want to say to celebrate, but I guess to commemorate the story I'm about to tell. I don't know. Very, very interesting. But so Texarkana is pretty much known for like one thing and one thing only. No offense, I'm kidding. I'm sure you're lovely people. But they became known for what ended up being called the Phantom Killer.
Mm.
And the reason for that is there was, and plot twist, you guys, these crimes remain unsolved to this day.
Ooh.
So in the 1940s, there was a string of, it started out as like random murders of like kids that were like, you know, out like making out on like an abandoned road. You know the vibes. So the attacks started there, and they would always be at night. And, you know, they were on a date and, you know, like the classic, like, interrupted by a man. And he was wearing a white sack with eye and mouth holes cut into it, shining a light into their car.
I hate it.
Yes. So the first attack was a couple, and the man ordered the guy to take off his pants, and then he beat him badly enough that he was in a coma for several days. He then caught up with the girl as she tried to escape. He beat her as well. And this is really bad. I don't even know if I should say it. Do you want me to say it? It's bad.
Trigger warning.
All right, trigger warning. Guys, it's bad. He then sexually assaulted her with the barrel of the handgun he had.
Oh my God.
Really bad. Oh, one other thing, back to the handgun, the Charles Manson of it. During the Sharon Tate murders, the guy, Sharon's friend that tried to protect her after he had like been shot and was still trying to protect her, was beat so bad with a handgun that the gun actually separated from the grip. That's how forceful it was. Like, again, like when they said this was one of the most brutal crimes they'd ever seen, like they meant it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, that's forceful. I don't know what guns were like back then. I don't know what guns are like today. I've literally never touched one. But
yeah.
It doesn't seem like anything you can just snap in half.
The first question that pops up when you Google Texarkana is Texarkana a safe place to live?
No offense, no.
That's like somebody who like just got a job offer there.
Right. It says it's in the 31st percentile for safety, meaning 69% of cities are safer and 31% of cities are more dangerous.
Well, okay. And this could be
bad, right?
No, it's kind of bad.
It's more dangerous than safe.
Yeah, okay, more dangerous than safe. But like, if you think of the sheer math of it, like, no offense, totally speculating. But if a lot of these people are related, then that means like the chances that one of them knows someone who's been through a crime means that a lot of them know people that have been through a crime. I don't know. I'm just making small town like speculation here.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, their COVID numbers are really low, so.
Oh,
probably because there's one citizen.
One person. He's had a lot of crime, but a very little bit of COVID. I love that.
We are roasting Texarkana. Sorry if you live there and are listening.
Mm-hmm. You know, parts of it do sound lovely, though.
They have bike tours. I mean, I'm down to go.
And I like the cute name. Like, you know, I love a gimmick.
Yes.
Come on. You couldn't come up with anything better than Texarkana to talk about this state line.
We would purchase a sweatshirt.
Are you kidding me? I'm on board for sure. For sure. Okay, but the phantom killer, again, the two people I mentioned, they lived. So he didn't get the phantom killer name that way. So things escalated. He did continue to assault, you know, sweethearts out on their dates. And he escalated. He began to not leave his victims alive. I'm just going to say it. The bodies of Richard Griffin, who was 29, and Polly Ann Moore, who was 17, were discovered. I'm just going to let that sizzle. I don't know, just something seems interesting about it to me. Yeah. Like Moore, no offense, my speed. Sorry to them, RIP. Paul Martin, 16, and Betty Jo Booker, 15. Were murdered after a high school dance. Like that, no offense, makes more sense. All of them had been shot to death. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the mechanism here. Also, I gotta say, the middle name, Polly Ann and Betty Jo, like that's just, you know, that's so Texarkana.
Yeah.
I love that. But the interesting thing about this is, like, you know, if you think about it, back in 1946, like, the term, the idea of like serial killer hadn't even been coined yet, and like actually wouldn't even be entered into the lexicon until 1981.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
Jeez.
I know. Like, look at Ted Bundy and Charles ahead of their times. Right. Look at that. Love that.
Interesting.
I mean, I guess you need context in order for a word to exist, but you know what I'm saying? But, like, how crazy is this? So we're back in the day. Like, no offense to me. I did not know the FBI was a thing back then.
Oh.
Like, I thought they were like ours. Like, I thought they were
nice. I fully agree.
So the FBI was brought in as well as the Texas Rangers, and like, this is hot, Kerr, you're gonna like this. So obviously movies have stemmed from this, and like, apparently, like, this is probably just fake, but like, one of the plot lines is like this like hunky Texas Ranger who's like, oh, I'm not stopping until I find this guy, like, just very I love a Texarkana local. But this is so us. Tell me this is not us. Okay, except for the local gun shops were like in full swing because like obviously people were flocking to buy firearms to protect themselves, because like this was just, you know, getting crazy, and it like started with people just being singled out on random streets, and then they started to like he started to break into homes and kill people in their homes. So it was just like things were just, you know, just complete bonk down in Texarkana. But how amazing. Residents booby-trapped their houses with pots and pans full of silverware or nails. I'm getting some good ideas. Kevin McAllister. people actually started to board up their windows because there was a situation where I think he shot through the window at a husband or a wife or something. And I forget if the husband was killed or not, but the wife had to run like miles, like, you know, barefoot, wounded in the middle of the night, like through corn, I'm sure, to get to a neighbor to get help. Like,
no.
That's very strange. Because remember that scene? She's like running and she's been injured and she like goes in that weird den and she's like completely hobbling. Like, that's what I can picture for this. Ugh. So there's that. Let's see. But yeah, she made it. And she had even been shot in the face with two bullets. Imagine that. Mm.
No.
Yep.
And this is the 40s.
Mm-hmm. The 40s. Picture that.
So probably couldn't get a lot of plastic surgery.
Exactly. I thought you were going to say they probably couldn't find any DNA or anything like that, but yes, probably couldn't get a lot of plastic surgery for the reconstruction. but yeah, these, like I said, these crimes are completely unsolved, and all it was like they kind of just stopped suddenly, seemingly. And there was like a couple people that like were on the radar, but it ended up like not being, you know, turning into anything. So there has been a movie and then a reboot that was created, and it's called The Town That Dreaded Sundown.
Oh,
and we love a small town vibe, because yes. Texarkana still shows the film every Halloween in a park near the crime scenes.
Okay, well, we're going.
Like, if that ain't just like, come see our best murders, like,
my right, like you said earlier, to celebrate, to commemorate, like, why?
I know, like, it's not funny, but it's just, it's wild. Wild.
I really like that. I mean, not the crimes, obviously, but that they do that. And I'm wondering, like, why?
Right.
Like, to scare people? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't find this film anywhere?
No. It's, like, not available. We might be able to rent it or something.
Okay.
But yeah,
I feel like we might need to watch that.
I'm like, do we want the 1976 one or the 2016 one?
I feel like that's 1976.
Right? I know. I kind of want to see some like hot 70s looks.
I was literally thinking that. Well, this is really messed up. Mm. But I was saying to Molly, I don't think we were on at the time, but back to the strangers.
Yeah.
Now. Was like, oh, I hate that bag over the head thing, and mm-hmm. I'm like, that like doesn't. I'm like, I borderline think that's like attractive looking. I think that's
awful. Scared.
But like the doll mask doing that doesn't mark to me where I'm super scared. Like, I don't like those.
The doll is scary. Yeah. And
the fact that like the women's hair is showing and they're in normal outfits and just that mask and that like completely transforms them into like not a normal citizen, like that's so crazy.
No, it really is. I hate the whole like costume mask vibe. Like it's just like, it's very freaky. But as I was reading about that story, you know me, I'm like, this like 6 degrees of true crime separation is just like, it's never lost on me. But as I was reading about that story, I was like, no, like this sounds like even more familiar, like not just the strangers, not just Manson. And I was like, before I started reading about these fan theories, I was like, this has very strong similarities to the Zodiac Killer, which was another very well-known serial killer, I think in the 70s or so. So I Googled it to see like, are these the same person? And obviously I came up with like all these like sort of like Reddit threads, but like fan theory types of things. Like there's like so much evidence to like make a theory that this unsolved Texarkana situation ended up being the Zodiac Killer, who ended up being a serial killer out in California. And one of the biggest similarities between them was the use of this white pillowcase looking sack with eyes and a mouth cut out. And it's just like,
it's a reoccurring theme.
You can't tell me that they're not the same person. Cause like the Texarkana stuff started in 1946, stops in the late 1940s, then kicks back up in California in the 1960s, allegedly, if you're assuming they're the same person. Like, listen, we might be stretching it here, but like, it could be.
You never know.
It could be.
Like, honestly, hopefully it is. Hopefully there's only one sick person.
Right?
Out there, like, dead ass, yeah. I hope it's the same person.
I completely agree.
I completely agree.
Oh, and it is worth mentioning. So, like, the Manson shit, obviously not unsolved. Manson dropped dead in jail, multiple things, like cardiac arrest or, like, respiratory shit, like cancer, whatever, no offense. I care about all those things, but I don't care about him. 2017, dead. One of the other ladies, also dead. The other two have been denied bail, denied parole multiple times. Awesome. The one guy was denied, like, 22 times. Cool. Like, what did you think you were getting out for? The one lady, when she was sick, no offense, sorry, had cancer, and she was like hoping to get like compassionate release, and it was like, where was the compassionate release for 9 month pregnant Sharon Tate?
Right.
No. Not doing the compassionate release. Thank you. As fun as that sounds.
No offense, cancer is a funny answer.
I'm not like trying to make light of it, but like,
no, just for them. Like, yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't want it to sound like, oh, I don't care that she has cancer. Like, no, yeah, like I care about cancer. I don't care about
that. That being said,
but yeah, that's it. Like, and the scary thing is, like, I used to just think, like, oh, the strangers could happen, but then when you put all the pieces together, it's like, it sort of did happen, but unfortunately to multiple different people at multiple different times.
Yikes.
Very freaky.
It's really freaky. I think it's one of the scariest scary movies for sure. Because of that factor.
Me too. I completely agree.
What also sucks is that
on Netflix.
Sorry, at like 4 a.m.
Oh!
When it all kind of starts. That's just the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm. And that adds another factor of just disorientation in the night. You're not thinking clearly to begin with.
Yep.
And you're so close to the morning, but there's still so much time before the sun rises at the same time for so much to go down. It's like,
yeah, it's like when you put it in that perspective, like, okay, 2 hours of fun is going to fly. 2 hours of torture and a masked murderer, the longest night ever.
Mm-hmm.
Longest.
That's horrible.
I know. Makes me really sad to think about it.
But I think lesson learned, I like what you said about like the booby traps that were happening in Texarkana and that you've taken that into your own life. Like, I think,
mm-hmm.
Let's take a note from Macaulay's book and
exactly small town problems, big city solutions. You know what I'm saying? Like, booby trap it up, baby. If you're not hashtag strapped, get yourself an old can with rusty nails. Like, All right, but that is it from me, from my big mouth. Any other like pressing comments, concerns?
Well, it is streaming on Netflix right now. If anyone feels like they want to spook themselves out, I like am really tempted to put it on right now, but I'm very scared.
Same. Hashtag not sponsored, but right. I'm too scared now, but I like want to.
Maybe at Grammys.
Maybe just cartoons. Witch magic. If that is all the thoughts, comments, and concerns and questions we have for this evening, then I think we can let this episode rock. I think we accomplished what we came here to do tonight, and I hope that everyone now has some ideas of don't trust a motherfucker and set the booby traps ASAP. Listen,
and like, don't live out in the middle of nowhere.
Meanwhile, us going there this weekend for fun.
Yeah, for fun.
Like, what? No, it's going to be bad. I'm scared.
No, it's going to be fine. We'll set traps. Why would we answer a door? Not happening.
But just the thought of, like, we don't have to answer it, but it doesn't, like, they're still out there. Right. If they knock. Oh, I don't know. We have to decide the sleeping arrangements. Cause like on one hand, I do like sharing a room because strength in numbers. On the other hand, I like spreading ourselves out so we can cover more ground that way. Like I don't
And I'm the first room that the killer would come to.
Yeah, not necessarily.
Unless they pop through the window, you know. So
they don't care what's the front or the back of the house, well.
Yeah, they don't care.
Why would they care about?
They don't care none. They're not using doors. Oh my God, you guys. All right, well, I think we'll make it through this weekend without a hitch. I hope so. And hopefully we'll live to tell another tale.
I hope so.
All right, guys, thanks for coming on. It was a blast with a capital B. And
as always,
I can't wait to have you guys on again.
Same.
Love to.